Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Over the last few days and weeks, you would have heard us actively engage with various industry professionals to really try to understand the complexity, but also the consequences of the trade war between China and the USA. As things stand for the moment, the US has imposed tariffs of 145% against the US, against China, I beg your pardon, though there are threats that that might breach the 200% level. And at the moment, China has imposed tariffs of 125% on US goods. All of this fundamentally does play a consequence in terms of not only the level of trade between these two nations, but how nations like South Africa and other peers who operate between both regions do trade as well. We do understand that the World Trade Organization has sharply shifted its forecast for global merchandise trade between the US and China. To talk us through these numbers, what the implications are, and ultimate understanding of the shift within trade dynamics at a global level, we join now on the line by Mr. Donald McKay, CEO of XA Global Trade Advisors. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Mr. McKay.
Good evening.
Excited to speak to you. And maybe before we actually get into the numbers from the World Trade Organization, sharp declines that they are quoting, I'm quite keen just to get your thoughts and observations on where we are so far. The last 2 weeks, actually a couple of months, have been incredibly volatile, and there's been a lot of back and forth in trying to understand the granular detail of the impact of these trade tariffs. Where are you, and how do you assess the circumstance right now?
Well, I have absolutely no idea what is going on at the moment, any more than anyone else does. It is an utterly bewildering experience. You know, I've been working in the trade as an advisor for many, many years now. It's just there's nothing comparable to this at all. And I think, you know, perhaps the kind of the really big trends that we are seeing is the U.S., whether by design or just by their actions, are obviously isolating themselves from the world. They've become an unreliable trade partner, and that has profound implications. Not only for trade, but for global security, securing of the trade routes, and just being able to strike a deal with the U.S., which they stick to. So the U.S. become untrustworthy, and that has implications for everyone in the world, because I mean, the U.S. is the world's largest economy. So I am worried by the direction of travel. I also don't see, in the short term at least, how this position unwinds.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because just looking at the news headlines this past week, companies like Boeing, Apple, even when we take a look at what's happening with many of the fashion retailers, there's a clear understanding that some of these entities have had to cut their forecasts, cut their levels of productivity, or even trade that's likely going to take place between these two regions. And perhaps this helps us segue then into the data we see from the World Trade Organization. The expectations regarding trade between US and China, they've slashed them by what, 81% from their previous forecasts? Help us contextualize these numbers.
Well, so the U.S. and China are the world's two biggest trading partners, and that has a huge effect on everywhere else in the world, because those supply chains can become really long. So when China produces less, for example, South Africa will mine less iron ore and less other minerals that go into the things that China produces. So the effect certainly stretches beyond those two countries. But perhaps the kind of the most noxious part of what is happening at the moment is the uncertainty that all of this creates. So if you understood that this will be the position for 4 years and it wasn't going to change, you could make decisions. The problem at the moment is no one knows what the position will be even a week from now.
Yes.
And these are literally the perfect circumstances to create a recession. When you don't know what to do, you stuff your money under the mattress, or in South Africa, in your sofa, and you just don't do the activities that you normally do. You don't go to the shop and spend the money. Everyone is sitting waiting to see. And so this could very well push the world into a recession. And I guess that's my biggest fear with this.
I'm glad that you help us contextualize just the level of uncertainty. Literally any day could be a different move in a different direction and a different deal that's struck. And as a consequence, the rest of the global economy also suffers. I'm hoping that we can zone this in specifically to emerging markets like South Africa, who have very open economies. And I believe our trade elasticity is rather high because there's a dependence on trade activity with the rest of the global economy. What unforeseen consequences could influence our economy too?
Yeah, so that's a very important point, actually. So if we look at the trade dependency of the US, in other words, how much of their GDP is made up of imports and exports, mm-hmm. we come to about a quarter. In a country like South Africa, we're over 60%, China too, very, very high. Most countries are much, much higher. So the US can afford, I guess, in some ways, to withdraw from the world, and it'll have a lesser consequence very often than the other trading partners. The problem, I guess, for what Trump has done here is this is not a strategic protection on particular sectors in the US, which he believes may be struggling with competition. It's really a blanket tariff on everything.
Yes.
And those factories are not going to appear in the US overnight, which will drive up inflation in the US. And because we all use the US dollars, some of that inflation will get exported, presumably, to the rest of us. So the consequences on smaller economies, and South Africa's economy is already quite fragile with all of the other problems we have with our ports and energy, et cetera, we're particularly vulnerable. Now, having said all of that, the US is not it's a big trading partner. It's our second biggest. Mm-hmm. But our exports to the US, for example, account for less than 2% of our GDP. Now, that's still not insignificant, but its effect of what Trump is doing is quite concentrated on a small number of industries. So because South Africa doesn't export a big variety of goods to the US, the effect, in fact, is a little more muted here. The problem becomes far bigger to countries where the US is by far and away their biggest trading partner. So if you're Mexico, this is a far bigger deal than it is for South Africa, but it is still bad. I don't want to underestimate the challenge here.
100%. And I think this is so important because, as you say, every economy just has a concern that they need to address in terms of the consequences that we might ultimately face. None of our own doing, unfortunately, but just a response to what we do see in terms of Donald Trump's announcement regarding these tariffs. There's a key theme that's also highlighted here, and it's been mentioned in various conversations regarding trade: decoupling. I'm hoping that, number one, let's unpack the technical meaning of the definition of decoupling when it comes to trade, and then illustrate how that fear and concern is now, I guess, underscored given the current economic environment that we're in.
So certainly for the last 80 years, and particularly since the end of the Cold War, the world has been working on the task of coupling. So more and more trade relationships. The World Trade Organization got set up in 1995. And the idea was that we would bring more of the world closer to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. The uncoupling is an utterly foreign idea in recent times. So we're kind of moving back to a 19th century view of the world, where you've got countries that try to just do everything for themselves. And that generates far lower levels of economic growth than you'd like. So the decoupling, particularly between China and the US, which is where the greatest harm will be felt, has knock-on effects into other areas. So, for example, I think we're all concerned globally, we don't want China to invade Taiwan.
Yes.
And so a big fear China has had in invading Taiwan is that they will be cut out of the world trading system. And we've just removed that. I say we, certainly not us, but
yes.
The US has just removed that incentive to behave well. They have literally removed China from their biggest market. And so Those risks, and again, I'm not suggesting this means China will invade Taiwan, but the risk is no longer the same as it was beforehand. They're paying the cost now, which gives them freedom later on to do things we'd rather they didn't. So the decoupling is worrying. You know, the saying is that two countries with McDonald's never go to war with each other. Ukraine proved that wrong. But more or less, you know, countries who trade don't fight. But when this happens, those temperatures certainly will rise.
Mm. And I'm glad that you highlight this, because it does just lead to, you know, these ongoing ripple effects. And I guess what should be top of mind for many of us within our economies, you know, we might sit here as South African citizens and think, oh, well, we're not impacted. But all it takes is just a better understanding of where we get our laptops and cell phones, our clothing and our fashion, even some of the food products that we're able to export to other regions, where we then start to understand the economic consequence of this. I guess, as you've mentioned, a recession is what we need to worry about. But I'm also keen to understand the inflationary challenges that we might have to prepare for, and if the messaging we've heard from MPCs like our own in South Africa and other central banks, I guess, is much of the rhetoric that we should anticipate for the short to medium term.
Yeah, so I don't actually at this point know what the effect on South African inflation will be. Yeah. Almost certainly US inflation will go up. Very hard to see that does not happen if Trump stays the course. Whether South Africa's inflation will rise proportionately, I don't actually know. And the reason is that all of those products that were going to go to the US or the US to China don't suddenly disappear. Mm. They'll find their way into other markets. And because they'll be distressed, their big market has disappeared, those prices will drop, I would predict. So I think the very crude assessment that this will drive up inflation everywhere, I think, may be incorrect. I think the US will certainly feel inflation. But of course, if you've got a flood of these other products that are suddenly arriving in your markets and you've got a domestic industry, this could pose a really big problem. So I would guess South Africa is going to force to become more protectionist. I don't think that's a good direction to move in, but I suspect for the few manufacturing sectors we still have, there will be a fear that we could lose them, because China, for example, just sends huge volumes that were destined to the US elsewhere, and we become one of those countries.
My goodness, you're mentioning such critical points here, Mr. McKay. I might push you a little further, you know, and ask if you had the ear of Mgabisi Jonas right now, a man who's been earmarked to lead up the delegation that is going to engage in these negotiations with members of the White House. What two things would you advise him on to prioritize South Africa's competitiveness and viability as a global player within global trade when he negotiates with the White House?
Yeah, so I mean, he's in a truly invidious position here. I would not want to be him at all. But I would say South Africa has to confront the fact that the US is going to want something. We need to think what that needs to be. I don't think we can avoid that conversation, as unpleasant as it is. I think we need to understand what the US wants. The problem we have, and which I'd ask Mr. Jonas to try to find out, is exactly what the US wants. So we know, for example, it is not duty-free access to a market. Mm-hmm. Europe offered the US duty-free access, and Trump was not interested. So I think the challenge we have is we simply don't know what the US wants, making it very difficult for us to figure out our position. However, the US published a document just a few weeks ago that by country listed their concerns. South Africa has a few pages in that document, and where they've identified a list of issues, and some of them relate to things like chicken and pork. They're concerned about protection of intellectual property. And so they've given us a list of what their concerns are. I'd encourage Mr. Jonas to work through that list very carefully and understand, at least on paper, what they are interested in, and formulate his negotiating strategy around that.
100%. Such a pleasure speaking to you, Mr. McKay. And I can imagine the years of insight and information that you can always share with us, and just how intriguing these latest developments have been for you and your team as you continue to, monitor the news headlines, much like we do. Thank you again for your time tonight, sir.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you, and bye-bye. To you too. That's Donald McKay, CEO at XA Global Trade Advisors, giving us further insight into some of the details we see from the World Trade Organization, who have sharply cut their forecast for global merchandise trade from a solid growth rate that we saw previously to now well below 81% in 2025. Share your thoughts with us. Your voice notes, your calls are always welcome. Maybe tell us if you're buying Easter eggs. Have you won? There was an Easter egg hunt here in the Kaya building. You know, we watched Nondwe hiding these eggs yesterday because we were busy with the show. And then, seize the world, Saul Penduga and the breakfast team sweep clean. But there's still a couple of eggs still lying around. But we want to hear from you. Are you buying Easter eggs? If I told you that the price of, 34 Easter eggs back in 2020 cost you at least between 30 to 40 rand, today, slightly higher price. Maybe not slightly. But it's for sure a higher price. Let us know your thoughts. 063-688-0959. We continue giving you an update and a refresher of conversations we've had this week regarding the trade tariffs.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.